Thank you all for leading us in those. We appreciate that. Once again, welcome to the Transylvania County Planning Board, our December meeting. Our first item on the agenda is public comment. Do we have anyone signed up for public comment? Anyone like to make public comment before we get started? Anyone? Okay. All right. The next item is approval of the agenda. I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda or for agenda changes, if so desired.
Make a motion, we approve it.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. All right. The approval of minutes is next. Does anyone have, before we have a motion for approval, does anyone have anything they'd like to point out, any changes that need to be made, any corrections or anything of that nature?
Sandy already shared some.
Sandy's already.
It's just
okay.
To you say we're of.
Okay.
We appreciate your close review very much.
I gave up.
All right. All right. If there are no others, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second. I have a motion and a second on the floor. All those in favor of approving the minutes from our November 15th, 2018 meeting indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, like sign. Okay. All right. Ms. Fields, the subdivision approvals and updates.
All right. Since our last meeting, there was 1 2-lot subdivision, 3 recombinations of previously approved lots, 2 lots that were greater than 10 acres, and 2 that were exception 1.9, which is changing of boundary lines between adjoining property owners. Are there any questions?
Any questions? Okay.
Okay.
You good with that? All right. All right, moving on to item 6, old business. Item A, watershed ordinance.
I apologize, y'all. I know you don't want to see the watershed ordinance again. However, when we were creating the Transylvania County Watershed Protection Map, we found evidence that the version of the ordinance that you all had been looking at had been modified in 1997, and amendments had been made. And so we felt like you had to see it again. So, in what you have before you, what was mailed to you, you have a version of the watershed ordinance that includes amendments that were recommended by the Department of Environment, Health, and Natural Resources back in 1997. And what spurred us to look into this was, as a watershed ordinance for a water supply, anytime the ordinance is amended, the Environmental Management Commission has to approve the amendments or review the amendments or be aware of it. And so in 1997, when they were looking at the amendments to the watershed ordinance, they said, you need to consider these other things. And so the amendments were approved in 1997, and the codified version has been incorporated into the document that you have. You'll notice that there is now a definition to balance of watershed. There is a definition for built upon area. There is a definition for cluster development. And these are in the codified version of the ordinance. What is not in the codified version are the strikeouts that you have in the version in front of you. To fit the structure of a definition, similar to the other definitions in the ordinance, instead of reiterating that the built-upon area is the built-upon area that shall include, it was the organization of it was slightly changed. And same with cluster development. We tried to make it a little bit more clear. But the intent and the content of the definition did not change. You'll notice a definition for major variance. That is different than what you saw in the 1993 version of the ordinance, and it comes from the recommendations from the state of North Carolina back in 1997. Same with minor variants. If you have any questions as I go through this, please let me know. I would love to have you guys discuss them if you have any concerns about these. A non-conforming lot of record was also included. And the previous version that you all looked at did not need to define a non-conforming lot because it was not used. However, when you all considered Section 2 of exceptions, there was Exception 2.4 specifically calls out a non-conforming lot, and so it needed to be defined in the definitions. In the codified version of the ordinance, are there any questions or comments about the definitions?
One question I had on the definition of buildable area.
Yes.
Is there not like a state, like the Department of Natural Resources has a definition that we could use so that we don't have... I know that what's accepted is as pervious and impervious changes over time. Like this, it's called pavement pervious or impervious. But I know you can do like concrete pavement that is pervious and some
sure.
things that I would think whatever the state definition is would probably be better and more consistent with all the other state rules and regulations in the watershed.
What you have in front of you is what the state recommended in 1997, and it could have changed since then. What you have in front of you is the codified version except for the strikeout. And so if we change it, we can go back and see what the definition is, but it will be a change to what is the current version. Would you like us to review the...
Makes sense to me, yeah.
Okay.
If this is the 20-year-old...
Yeah,
hard
oh, yeah. 1997 is hard quite a way back.
But if this okay. is the 20-year-old yeah. definition, it's more than likely has been modified since then.
And that's definitions for what? All definitions or just certain ones?
Build upon area is the one I have concerns about.
The built upon area, okay.
Is cluster development the same as the 97 definition?
Except that the 1997 definition says land resources yeah. and provide for innovation in the design of the project. And in it, staff would suggest that innovation in project design.
Okay.
Just reduce a couple of words.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is the codified version from 1997.
That might be while we're looking. That might should be another one we should check.
I would completely
yeah.
agree.
Question, Doc.
What are we going to compare that against, though?
What we'll just look and compare this definition with what is. Their most current, the state's most current
oh, okay. yeah.
definition for these two.
Okay.
You ready to move on from the definition section? Okay.
In section 5, when the ordinance was codified, they provided section titles. So lot space was what was approved and put into the code of ordinances for Transylvania County. Calculation of area was what was approved and put in there. And then spill containment plan was also what was approved. The one thing that changed since you saw it last in 5.1 in lot space, a recommendation and what was approved in 1997 was that residential lots may be developed using the built upon area criteria in section 7 and 8. Any questions?
On 4, well, it was 4.6, it's 5.6 now.
Yeah.
Spill containment, how's that going to apply to agriculture? Or is that more commercial spill containment?
If it is a hazardous substance or a toxic substance, as defined by the federal laws that define hazardous materials that are referenced in the definition, then they'll need a spill containment plan. So a Christmas tree farmer who has hazardous materials stored may have a spill containment plan on file, and should if they are within the watershed.
I wonder who's allowed to design that. Because that could be anything from a masonry structure to an earthen berm as high as this table around the tank, you know?
Or it could be a plan if it starts to leak. How do you stop it from leaching into the ground and getting into the waterway? It may not be a built-upon structure. It might just be how do you stop it from spreading.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that's what it's after.
We did not define a water supply to watershed, but we wanted to spell out what WS2 meant. And so in section 6, the new section 6, you'll see water supply to watershed is spelled out before you see WS2, so that they know what WS2 stands for. That's why it has an underline. In old section 7, new section 8, watershed areas, balance of watershed, there is a change in 8.22. And that change is a result of the change of North Carolina General Statutes in 1995. And it increased the amount of the built-upon area in the original tracts. So in 8.22, on original tracts, up to 10% of each of the original tracts located in the balance of the watershed at the time of the ordinance was adopted may be developed with new development or expansions to existing development to a maximum of a 70% built-upon area on a project-by-project basis. The 1993 version had 5% built-upon area. So in 1997, they increased it to be 10%. That was optional. according to the letter from the state, but it was now an option when the North Carolina general statutes changed. And so Transylvania County chose to allow existing lots to have a 10% built upon area.
On 7.2.2, that just right above where we're talking about here, that's 6% built upon area. In other words, for any given parcel of land, 6% of however many square feet that is, that's all they can do.
That's in the critical area, yep. Okay. That first half mile. And you'll see that what has changed since you saw it last is 6 is put in parentheses. And instead of 6% being in parentheses, the 6 is in parentheses. And project by project is hyphenated in the codified version. That's why it's highlighted.
We're okay with the with these changes and ready to move on, or do you want to discuss this? It was 5% in the discovery of the 97 changes increased it to 10%. That is within the WS2BA area.
The balance of the watershed.
Yeah, balance of the watershed. Okay. Move on.
Section 9.3, the title of open space shall be conveyed to an incorporated homeowners association for management, to a local government for preservation as a park or open space, or to a conservation organization for preservation and a permanent easement, was what was changed between 1993 and 1997. In section, if there's no questions about that, in section 11, yeah.
It really made the part that's in gray. I'm thinking more like, you know, you have quite a few kind of old legacy family properties on the watershed, and if every member of the family builds a house, and I don't really see the need for them to have POA.
What this is designed for is cluster development, where they're allowed to do more dense development as long as they have the same total number of lots as would be allowed for a single family residential, but they keep some open space that's undeveloped to create a development percentage of the built upon area that is comparable to if it was all just single family, but it has dedicated open space. And how do you keep that open space dedicated as the cluster development changes hands? As developers go bankrupt, as they sell it to a different developer, how do you ensure that that open space is maintained? And so that is why you would have the title for the open space conveyed to a homeowners association or a local government or Conserving Carolina or another land trust, or the state has a conservation easement program. And so that is what that is designed to do, is to ensure that it's the proposed density does not increase as time and memories fade, you know.
But to me, the two sentences below the gray section pretty much spell out what needs to be done to protect.
That's a maintenance agreement, but it's not who owns it.
I mean, to me, it doesn't matter as long as there's a maintenance agreement. It's maintained in the natural vegetative state. It doesn't matter. If you put it in one of these other more permanent things, it's harder to undo. Say the developer fails and somebody goes in and takes it out, then you still have this big chunk of land that's restricted forever to conservation. It's just harder to unwind. I mean, to me, as long as it's protected by the ordinance, we shouldn't require them to lock the property up forever, because the use of the property could change in 70 years, 100 years. And this property might not even be the city's watershed. If they adopted a big site on the Bridge Front someday, then they might just abandon this site. And here you have a big portion of the property that's locked in a conservation easement that can't be undone.
To see if there was ever another watershed, that would include a lot of farmland. And, you know, farmers that are in the process of growing crops for their income, you know, idle land, sir. Well, from a financial viewpoint, idle land growing in trees and vegetation serves them no purpose. I mean, they can't do anything with it. But now, is this in the balance of the watershed, or just in the first near the intake?
This is related to cluster development. And cluster development is used in both parts of the watershed to allow for some design alternatives for how people use their land, so that they can have more dense development on a few parcels if they maintain open space in other parts of the land.
Just concerned about how this is going to affect landowners.
This is how it is currently. So if we do nothing about this section, this is law now. It's not something that is being added. It's just you guys did not see it because you were looking at the 1993 version. So since 1997, this is how it has read.
And it would... My understanding only has the application to cluster development, which shouldn't, unless you have a subdivision that's bulldozed and turned into a farm.
Which seems likely.
It seems laughable. You know, I'd love to see it happen, but it's laughable. That's where you would run into a problem here.
And if you look over time, Georgia State Park.
Land
uses change.
Yeah, they do.
There are instances in North Carolina where cluster development, the open space, is actually conserved as a working farm. And so it in a vegetated or natural state doesn't mean that it can't be a working farm. It just means that there is a conservation easement, meaning that there's not going to be houses developed on it. And the conservation easement, or the management agreement, will determine what that land is used for, whether it's walking trails or farming.
That's not going to either end, Stan, so okay, I'll follow you now.
But my issue is that conservation easement's forever. This might not be a watershed forever. We're tying up the property forever. for something that may be a temporary use. And to me, as long as it's protected, if it's vegetated and in its natural state, then that's good enough for as long as it's a watershed.
Is a conservation easement forever? I just did a project where we overturned one. It's a different county.
99 years.
But I think there are provisions to overturn them. So I kind of wonder if anything's ever really permanent, you know. And since this is directly applying to a very specific development type, and part of the provisions of that development type is to cluster, increase density in an area, and then protect her surrounding area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the core provision of that type of development. So to remove this, is then what's the point of having the cluster development? If we're saying, oh, we're going to kind of leave it up to you.
Right. And this is, if there is not a homeowners association, it can be given to these other entities to manage as open space.
Right.
So it actually can reduce the liability on the homeowners by giving it to someone else to ensure that it stays open, whether it's Transylvania County or a conservation organization or the homeowners association.
What's our pleasure here? We need a vote on that, or?
Well, after it was explained, I'm good with it.
You're good with it?
I'm all the one that's not. We're just
So, this is the way it's been worded since 97.
This is the way it currently is worded.
Okay.
It's just different than the 93 version that you guys looked at in detail. And so we wanted to be sure that you were aware of it in case you had any changes to it.
Anyone opposed to us moving on? Okay.
When reviewing this again, staff looked at the definitions, and we define watershed, but we don't define watershed area. And so you'll notice that the areas after watershed, if they are not specifically needed, are removed. So where uncertainty exists as to the boundaries of the watershed, as shown on the watershed map, the following shall apply. We define a watershed as the area draining to the water intake. And so the boundaries of the watershed doesn't need to say boundaries of the watershed areas, because there's different areas. There's the balance of the watershed and there's the critical area. So, unless you all oppose, we would propose that we strike those areas that are struck in gray.
Well, either way, the contributing watershed is what it is, no matter how you define it. I mean, it's going to be the boundaries, whether it's a road or a ridge top or
whatever. Right. So that's why you saw those in gray. In the 1993 version, which you all looked at, there was a 12.1 that was vacant lots. That was removed in 1997. So the current ordinance does not have a section, the section here that's in gray, vacant lots.
I'm assuming that's because they've sort of defined uses and there really wouldn't be, that definition doesn't apply anymore.
And it was one of the recommendations from the state. serve.
Well, that would be absentee landowners.
So legal provisions. The codified version and the 1993 version, the order starts to change with Article 8. The content is the same, but it's just ordered differently. So that's why that comment is off to the side, that the order does not match. It jumped down to it was before subdivisions. In the codified version. I think the reading of the ordinance makes sense and it matches the order of other ordinances that you all have looked at to have legal provisions after the subdivision or regulations, but that is why that is highlighted. What is highlighted is what is codified. And 17.4 is a mixture of what is codified and what is in a letter from Dina. So the first sentence, when a variance is being considered, the watershed administrator shall notify in writing the entity using the water supply for consumption. That is what the ordinance says currently. What was suggested by the state in 1997 included that such notice shall include a description of the variance being requested, and that local governments receiving the notice may submit comments to the watershed administrator prior to the decision of the watershed review board. Such comments shall be part of the record of proceedings of the watershed review board. So if the city of Brevard provides any comments about a variance request, because the water supply is their water supply, that would be part of your proceedings and part of what you consider. If we don't have that on there, then they may still submit comments and you may still hear it, but it's not required. And this is a may submit comment, so it's not a requirement either. But if they do submit comments, it is clear that you all can review those comments as part of the record of proceedings.
Any questions?
Alright. 17.5, you'll notice that 10 is highlighted. That's because it changed from 5 to 10 between 1993 and 1997. Okay. North Carolina Division of Community Assistance is now maybe part of the Department of Commerce. It appears to no longer be a division of North Carolina State Government. And in section 21.3, it says that applications for a variance shall be made on the proper form. In reviewing subdivision variances, you all receive a letter from the applicant. And there is not currently a form for variances. If we leave this in here, staff will make a form for variances. But we can... or we could just say applications for a variance shall be made to the watershed administrator and shall include the following information.
That works for me.
That way, yeah. I don't see a need for creating a form.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. 21.3.3 is part of the current ordinance. Um, 21.9, what is highlighted in gray is the current ordinance. That word subdivisions is just a note that the order of the codified version and what you're looking at now is different. Section 22, staff would propose moving it down to below remedies to match the order of other ordinances so that you can see what the penalties and remedies are, and then you understand where the appeals go. If you want to appeal something.
So we would change 23 to 22.
You would change...
Or as you have it here, 22
yeah.
to say 20, yeah, as you have it here.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
It has not been deleted, it was just moved.
Okay.
If you want to keep it where it is, that's fine too. Thanks.
In section 24 is the appeals process
right.
as it's defined now.
Right. It was just moved from 22 to 24.
Okay.
Same wording, same process. You will notice in section 24.1 there is a strikeout. And that is struck out because in 2004 this section was General Statute 143.215.6A was repealed. And this all came about, these changes were uncovered because of the map. And so when you feel comfortable with the ordinance, we need to talk for a few moments about the map.
Any comments, questions, concerns about the ordinance? All right, let's move on to the map.
We have been working on the watershed protection ordinance with the understanding that there was one watershed in Transylvania County, and that's the Cathy's Creek watershed. That understanding comes from the letter from the Division of Natural Resources in 1997 that clearly states that in the Transylvania County Watershed Protection Map, revive the local ordinance to include land use restrictions for watershed supply 1 and watershed supply 3, balance of watersheds, or submit confirmation that these watersheds, except for Cathy's Creek, lie entirely within national forest land, and that Transylvania County does not have land use jurisdictions in these watersheds. So, I don't have a copy of the letter that the county sent back to Diener, verifying that all these other watersheds are outside of our jurisdiction because they're completely within national forest. But what I do have is improved technology that shows the boundary of the water supply watersheds according to the Division of Water Resources and the USDA property boundaries according to their resources. And there are two properties in that may have sections in the Mills River watershed. These two properties are over 400 acres in size. One is 430 acres, one is over 800 acres. And the total that might be impacted is estimated around 6 acres, might be in the watershed. Yes. So, the remainder of the Mills River watershed is within the National Forest boundary, according to the data that we have. However, we can't say clearly that it lies entirely within the National Forest. Only a survey will clearly define that. Because boundaries, they're not exact until you have a survey that documents where they are. And there's a provision in the ordinance that allows for property owners to show by a survey that they're not within the watershed. The map that you see in front of you has the Mills River watershed on it, the balance of the watershed. It's a water supply watershed too. It has the same regulations as the Cathy's Creek balance of the watershed. There's no critical area, but it is before you because based on all the information I have at my fingertips, it appears that it is a watershed in Transylvania County that is affected by this ordinance. You'll notice a little...
Before you go any further?
Yeah.
It's no surprise, but according to the state and county documents, if we, as the county, say your property is in a watershed, it's not on us to prove it, it's on the property owners to disprove it.
That's true. They would have to provide a survey showing that this potential overlap is not within the watershed. Would you like to see these boundaries?
I think it would be beneficial.
Yeah, I think so too.
Looks like we could do a survey before we told them that. Instead of just saying, hey, looks like from what we did in the office, you're in the... And they have to spend the money and give it another.
Remember all that hubbub that they had when the state tried to call Sutton Creek trout water?
Oh, yeah.
And see, that was tied to the Mills River intake.
Yeah.
Because there was a huge bunch of hubbub about whether it was creek miles or straight line miles to the intake.
Yeah.
And it ended up being straight line miles.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
It's the first and only time that I'm aware of anyway, but I know it was the first time that a designation by Diener has been overturned by General Assembly.
Well, that's because of the way they went about it.
Yeah, it was. It was underhand the way they did it.
So, I don't have that knowledge like you do. If the Mills River watershed doesn't extend all the way up into Transylvania County, then we don't need it on our map.
You know who may be able to answer this for us?
What?
The county manager.
However, looking at the map from the Division of Water Resources for water supply watersheds, you'll see for VARG, from Kathy's Creek, you'll see our boundary here. This is a water supply watershed one, but the entirety of it is within the National Forest. So what you see on the map in front of you is the water supply watershed two that drains to Mills River. And this is balance of watershed because it is so far from the Mills River intake.
Now that area up top, that's around your Wolf Fork going down into the dropping off down towards Cantrell Creek Lodge and all that area up in there. That's definitely federal. But that area where the era is right there, that's McGuire Loop and all of that area up in there.
That is federal. You see this river here? This is the river that drains down to the Mills River intake. This is WebGIS. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it has a tax parcel for the state, I mean, for the federal government. And it's this huge area. And you can tie it into what is on the map in front of you. And then we're going to zoom into this area right here, which is the only area that could be potentially in the watershed. So there's this parcel that is over 400 acres, and there's this parcel that is over 800 acres. And these parcels, when you put on top the water supply watershed from the state, the color comes down right here and is not exactly right on with the property boundary. Looking at the contours, this is the highest point right here. And this blue line is the property boundary. So if this is the highest point, water flowing from here will go downhill here and will go downhill here. This area right here is 6 acres.
It's what?
6 acres.
Oh, okay.
And the whole parcel is over 400.
Is there an existing survey? I'd be surprised.
Oh, if there's a survey for 400 acres, there's usually not for 400 acres just because of the cost of doing one, but there might. We can look up the deed book and see if there's a documented survey for that. That's a good question.
Okay. It's near it. I believe that's up way up on the ridge top above the McGuire Loop where that lady owns that big tree farm area up in there. I can't remember her last name right now.
They had the Tompkin Festival for a few years.
Looking at the topography.
Can we contact the owner to see if they have a survey?
We could.
Could we? Should we start with Mills River?
We could.
Themselves and see if they're. If I would think, hopefully, they have a good understanding of their watershed. And I don't say that to be. I sounded sarcastic, but I really didn't mean it that way. And if we see what we're seeing now, then reach out to the property owner and say, you know, explain the situation. And
if they have a survey that has been recorded, it will be in the Register of Deeds office.
Yeah.
So we can go over there using the information we have and see. Because it is that one little area that makes me hesitant to certify that the entire watershed is within the National Forest.
Yeah.
Well, so more in the upper right corner is the same way, according to the county boundary regulation.
In the event,
personally, I'd start with the county attorney. I mean, there's a lot of questions about how their watershed was adopted. They certified that it was all on Forest Service property in Johnson County. It's going to be certified that it was, then maybe even though that technically drains into the watershed, it's not a watershed.
Maybe.
I mean, it's something that I don't really know how we would decide without legal advice.
You see, there's end holdings in the federal land.
True. There are in certain areas. Are there in the Mills River watershed area? Usually it shows up here. Usually you see the property boundary. And
it would have the ID number on it.
Right. And there is not within this vicinity here. So,
in the event...
Before you all consider the map, you would like more information about the Mills River watershed and whether there's a survey on record for this property. Okay.
I'm sure the Forest Service property
Well,
using
the GIS layer from the USDA Forest Service and the GIS layer from the Division of Water Resources, that is outside of the forest and in the watershed.
In the event it is.
Mm-hmm.
Will this ordinance apply to that 6 acres or your entire 400?
Because a portion of the parcel is in the watershed, the built upon area includes the entire parcel.
Yeah.
But so the undeveloped acreage of the parcel is considered in the calculation for the built upon area for the watershed, based on my understanding of it. But it's
So Mike, what you're saying is, then if the county attorney says that this was the way it was laid out and it's not shown as part of the watershed, then Joy's good to sign off on it. I mean,
if the watershed is described as being on Forest Service property in Pennsylvania County, then it really doesn't matter if water drains out into the watershed or not. It's not watershed.
And it's all forested way up there at that elevation anyway.
Okay. We'll dig a little bit more.
Okay.
What is important to know is that if this is a water supply watershed 2 in Transylvania County, it does not affect the words or the ordinance that you have looked at. It affects the enforcement of the words in the ordinance. And it affects the map that certifies where these watersheds are, but it doesn't mean that you have to go back and look at this again. In the upper right-hand corner, you see a little green area right here. You'll notice that is a water supply watershed 1. That is Bradley Creek. But because it's entirely within the National Forest land there, on the Transylvania County side, if DNR comes back and says, hey, you need to put water supply watershed 1 in your ordinance and on the map, there's no question that it's outside of our jurisdiction because it's National Forest land.
I see Bradley Creek's on the other side of the river, through there, where Cantrell Creek Lodge used to stand, and I know that's on the federal up there.
Yeah.
We run too many searches up there.
Do we need to approve this ordinances as It has been.
I don't think we can send it to the county commissioners until there's a map that goes with it.
Okay.
And so I don't think we're done with it.
Okay.
Or you could make a recommendation to send it to the commissioners contingent upon the finalization of the map. Let's look at it next time.
Yeah, let's look at it next time. That's
we can look at the map.
Yeah.
Next time.
Yeah.
And look at the evidence that from the Mills River fiasco and the And see.
All right. Any questions, comments, concerns before we move on from this topic? All right, moving on to item B, small area planning process.
At the last meeting, staff handed out a small area planning process for you all to review and consider. I have it up here so that we can play with words. Because based on experience with the comprehensive plan, sometimes it's nice to be able to see what you are proposing. So I'm zooming in so you can read it, but you should also have it in front of you. And if you do not, let me know. So you, the small area planning process is before you and would apply to any jurisdiction or community, not jurisdiction, but community within Transylvania County that would like to look at a small area plan that would address the needs that they identify.
Applying for appointment by the Board of Commissioners to the clerk's office.
That would
about appointment. The commissioners would have to officially appoint
the committee.
The committee. Okay. Should we flip flop those last two? Get their approval and then appoint the board.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It does. Most likely it would happen at the same time.
Yeah. It's semantics, but
it is. But yeah, we can swap them for sure. We may want to look at the wording of the seek approval from Board of Commissioners to proceed with planning process. In the 2025 comprehensive plan, it looks at workshops around the community to identify needs and potential solutions. And a small area plan may not be where this ends up, depending on what the needs of the community are. So, do we want to consider maybe proceed with process, because the process would determine whether it ends up in a small area plan, or do we like it as it is?
Your wording would be what? Versus what's up there now.
That was my worst.
Your alternative wording.
Proceed with evaluating potential solutions through the planning process. That's just adding more words, though.
I don't really see a problem with the way it's worded.
Okay.
Does anyone else have?
No, but I have a question on the second bullet.
Yeah.
It says community plan committee, which shall include community representatives, planning board members, and planning staff. That sounds to me like we're all part of their committee. We're really not, are we? Don't they just work with us, kind of on an advisory basis, and we're not really members of their committee?
You are not currently, but so take the Cedar Mountain example. As they move forward, it will be imperative that there is a planning board member involved in the process, going to the public input meetings, looking at the draft, the survey in detail, being intimate with that process, and reporting back to you.
Okay.
So we need to put a parenthesis on the after the around the letter S. So there may be one planning board member assigned to the committee, one or two, but the way it reads, it could be the entire planning board.
It could.
I don't think that's what anyone meant.
Yeah.
Or once.
Hey, we work pretty well.
Yeah, you do.
I have the best words.
But if all of the planning board members go to a public input session out in Cedar Mountain, it has to be noticed.
Yeah.
Because potential decisions could be made. And so if there is a chance of having a quorum at a public input meeting, it would have to be noticed that planning board members will be here at this time, no decisions will be made. And so by having only one or two planning board members on the committee, there is not a majority, and no decisions could be made by the planning board or be perceived to be made by the planning board.
Do we need to clarify that there should be no more than two planning board members on the committee?
Do all of you guys really want to be on the Cedar Mountain Community Committee?
in general. And technically, this is a seven-member board, so it'd be four.
Yeah. No more than three.
No more than three because public meeting laws.
We could. But there may be opportunities where you all want to go see what the community is talking about. And you may not be an actual appointed member on the committee, but you may be there, and we may have to notice the public. And that's fine. That's part of the process.
Even if we go to listen, it's still considered a public meeting.
If
you have quorum.
If you have quorum.
So in bullet two, the community plan committee is going to be appointed by the commissioners.
Yeah.
Should we move the bottom bullet to the second bullet? Or are you going to move the second bullet to the bottom?
Or just add and apply for appointment by the county commissioner's office.
That'll work. Yeah. You combine
it. It's really up to the commissioners now.
Yeah.
Structure.
I mean, do we need to even say, if it says form community plan committee, do we need to clarify who's forming that committee or approving it? I guess the question is, who's forming who's directing the formation of that committee?
In Cedar Mountain, it was the community.
Community. But the community is not a, it is not adding planning board members or planning staff. So who's in charge of that piece?
The county commissioners.
Yeah, so that's what I'm wondering. If we say that, do we need to clarify the county commissioners are forming or at least approving the community planning committee? Because right now it's just sort of ambiguous. It's just saying yeah. Form.
Why don't we have? I'm going to see if I can explain what I'm thinking here. Why don't we have this section be form community plan committee, which shall include community representatives. Period. And then apply for appointment by the Board of Commissioners through the clerk's office of planning board members and planning staff to be a part of the community planning committee.
Are the commissioners not going to appoint the entire
committee? Yeah.
They will be appointing the entire committee.
So we can add that they'll appoint the committee and along with planning board members and planning staff.
What about if you just move the second bullet down to the bottom?
Yeah.
That's the only thing we
have. Take out the bottom, yeah.
We have forming the committee before confining it over
here. Oh, yeah.
We're ahead of ourselves.
But I think, you know, technically we're going to want to know what that committee is going to look like before we get to that stage, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you were trying to convey there, right?
Yeah, exactly. So moving it below apply for appointment?
Let's see what that looks like. Sure, yes, go ahead.
There's a series of three or so steps. You know, we put a process in place, you put a process draft in place that you're working on here. I appreciate what you're going through, but I do believe it's a little bit more organic than what you're thinking. The community initiates a committee. The committee then needs to seek the county planning board. The planning board needs to find a liaison to that committee or multiple liaisons. Then that needs to get approved by the commissioners. But it's not a committee that's actually built by the county. It's the community that builds the initial. This is our Cedar Mountain. This is two-thirds of our committee right here. We're already formed. We're already active. We're working with you to get our representatives so we can go forward. So I know it's semantics and words, but it doesn't start with the planning board. It starts with the community.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what you're...
That's the first bullet.
Oh, yeah, the community initiates discussion with planning staff and planning board.
But we've already, at that point, established a committee. We have a community committee.
Mm-hmm.
It reports to the Cedar Mountain Community Center Board.
And keep in mind, this is going to be, the application of this will be to a community that has not even started the process yet. You all are further ahead in this process. We're starting it from scratch. Yeah.
So if you guys didn't already have a committee, but you wanted to go forward in this process, you would need to form a committee. But you wouldn't know to form a committee unless you were instructed to or encouraged to, maybe.
Or if the commissioners don't think that your committee has enough diversity,
right,
then they may want to.
So you're saying the legitimacy of our committee will come from Board of County Commissioners?
that is why you apply for appointment by the board, because then it's an appointed board working on this process. And that appointed board has more authority and more legitimacy.
And that would be under your home here? Or is it a byproduct and directly under the county commission?
More.
I'm sorry?
I would really say it would be under the county commissioners. You will be working with this board, however. So it's
therefore, but you were talking about a member or in parent members, that would be decided by the county commission, not by y'all.
Exactly.
The county, when a county commission, or when the board of commissioners appoint a committee, they often have a draft list in front of them that is recommended by someone. So the Transportation Advisory Committee has a draft list of transportation advisory, of a working group to work on a comprehensive transportation plan. So the planning board would have a draft list that they would send to the county commissioners to be appointed.
But I think what we're asking is it specific to our community, or is it a small planning community board that's throughout? So it's specific to each community.
Specific. And I would anticipate that the community members' names that are put forth to be on the this committee will come from the community.
Yeah.
So we can leave now.
Yeah. I mean, by all means, you can leave now. So, because we have gone apply for appointment, inform community, and reverse the order, can we combine them?
Yeah, I think we should combine them. I think it may read a little, maybe a little more clear if we combine those two. Apply for appointment of community plan committee. Community plan.
Or receive official appointment by the Board of Commissioners?
Of the community plan committee, which shall include. Yeah, I think that reads okay.
So, form community plan committee, which shall include community representative, planning board members, and planning staff, and apply for appointment. Seek appointment by the Board of Commissioners?
We shall be approved.
Sandy, we need your grammar.
We shall be appointed by.
We need your grammar skills.
We shall be approved by the Board of Commissioners.
Officially appointed?
I think it's easy enough to say that we shall be appointed by the Board of Commissioners. And then take out through the clerk's office.
If the board appoints you, why do you also need approval? I mean, wouldn't it be one and the same just to put the two together? Yeah. Make it less verbose?
In other words, that second bullet is letting the commissioners know that a community wishes to proceed with the planning process, which I think would be totally separate from bullet 3, where they're talking about creating the board and so forth like that.
Mm-hmm. So it may not be seek approval, maybe like notify board commissioners that this community is interested.
Inform board.
Yeah, we're not really, the approval hasn't come yet.
Yes.
Because if they do not give their approval, they will not appoint the community plan committee.
Darrell, there wouldn't be much reason the commissioners wouldn't approve a community.
I think the only way that they wouldn't approve that is if they saw someone trying to not a real true community process, just a handful of people trying to take over and have a situation like Max in us that they dealt with in
Clinton. Jackson.
Yeah. I think if you see that, clearly this will keep that from happening. I would hope, anyway.
So would that not be that the planning board makes a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners whether or not to proceed with the planning process for a specific community? So if it's a situation like Max said, they come to the planning board, it's easily recognized, it's just not a significant amount of the community or a diverse part of the community, so it doesn't go any further.
And I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, we're the first step, and then we can
make
our recommendation to the county.
And that's
you're the filter. If we're not legitimate, you're going to know. You're
That was my question about bullets two
and
three. Is this, do we or the planning board seek the approval? Then on bullet number three, the community forms the community plan committee. Or the small, it really would be community forms, whatever, small area plan or whatever you're looking at trying to put through. Community forms. Community plan committee. Do you want to clarify that that's coming from the community? So the community forms the community plan committee?
I do think for consistency's sake, after the bullet, we can say the community initiates, the
planning
board recommends, the community forms.
Yeah.
Right. So who member?
I would like the commissioner.
Yeah.
And they do by appointing it.
But the community wants to say
they'll have recommendations made to them, and it'll just make the process more official with their appointment. It won't be a situation where like, okay, form this committee and they just picking people out of the crowd or whatever. There'll be a recommendation sent from us that we will work with the community to identify the members that want to be engaged.
So that includes you then?
Yeah, it'll include us.
Yes.
And that's why we're putting us in here in the second process,
yes,
or second step.
Planning board recommends the Board of Commissioners to allow community to proceed with planning process.
There you go.
Yeah.
You see, the way the commissioners are going to know that somebody's not trying to pull a wool over them, Robert, you all have official minutes of the meetings and all that. I mean, it's documented with community support.
Now, a new community effort isn't going to have what they have, and it'll be a lot more on us. The onus will be, is this a legitimate effort or not?
Because we already have a survey that shows all the participation.
So community initiates discussion with
Let's say,
staff and planning board.
You know, Little River decides, and they start from scratch. We're going to be involved from the get-go. Not that we weren't involved from the get-go, the planning staff, with this, but we'll be involved from the get-go and make a recommendation.
Cedar Mountain's just so far ahead.
Yeah, they're ahead. Exactly. Yeah, we're not really doing this for Cedar Mountain. We're doing this for communities that have yet to decide to move forward with it.
I guess.
But if Cedar Mountain had a process like that, it may have helped them formulate how do we go about this.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Who's following you?
Dude. I think bullet number three needs to start with who forms the committee.
Yeah. I think it should say county commissioners.
Well, really, the community and the planning board advocate for who's on the committee, which would be approved by
community and planning board recommend.
You act as a filter for the county commission.
The tabletop process for appointing boards, people that are interested apply.
Yeah.
So it's part of the commission.
Yeah.
Do you have a sense for how thorough the commissioners want this plan to be? Do they want us to say that the committee will be a 7-person committee and it will be so many business owners, so many property owners, so many residents?
But every community is going to be different.
Yeah.
There may only be 4 business owners in Little River that could be on a committee, whereas Lake Toxaway may have 15. So every community would be different.
I think it's safe to say that it would require a diversity of owners, business owners, and they're not just going to...
I think that's what step 2 is about, is we sort of have to vet it before it even goes with the county commissioners.
I mean, there's been discussion 6-18 years ago about people being on boards that weren't residents of the county, that with property owners here and business owners.
All the other boards I have
to teach about that.
All the other boards I've seen were defined in an ordinance, like this planning board or transportation advisory committee. They're all part of an ordinance that says how many will be of what type, and it says they have to be a resident. This doesn't have an ordinance.
That's kind of my question. Are they expecting that much structure in this?
I don't believe so.
I don't think they're expecting anything. That's not what they're expecting it at all.
A joint resident is not necessarily, in other words, just because you own land in a community, you're not necessarily a resident.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. And so community representatives could be landowners, they could be residents. Maybe they rent, and they've been renting there for 25 years, but they don't own land. Or maybe they run a business there, but they live in a different part of the county. Are they representatives? Maybe, so there's, by having community representatives vetted by the planning board, and then also vetted by the county commissioners, then you know that the community representatives are representative.
That's the best effort we can make.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
so we would go to the Board of Commissioners with a list of people who are interested in being on the committee.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, for the Cedar Mountain community, that would be the next step for them, that you all would go to the county commissioners and say, we have had discussions with Cedar Mountain, they would like to begin a small area planning process, they would like this committee to be their committee for developing this plan. Please officially recognize and appoint this committee. We have these planning board members who are willing to participate with the committee, and staff should be available and supportive.
Is there a term or a time limit on their appointment or anything like that?
I think that was Matt's question of, do we need a set of time limit?
Well, and do we just need like a structure of what the committee is going to look like?
Is this getting? I think what, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Joy, but I think we're looking for a rough, not necessarily detailed, but a rough structure, flow process for this process.
That was my question.
Yeah.
What do the commissioners think?
I would say give them as little as possible if they want what they can ask for.
Yeah.
Because it just kind of smells like they come to us for help and now they're going to end up working for us. Which I don't think that's the way it's supposed to go.
No, the other way around.
Yeah.
I would. I don't think that level of detail is necessary. We can hash that out when it gets there. I do think they're going to want these to be formal. You know, however, the Cedar Mountain community is going to be, you know, our pilot program. Yes. I was looking for a word besides guinea pig.
I know.
Thank
I
you.
Mean, we can't say that.
Yeah.
But,
you know, to kind of standardize the process as we move forward, or make changes for things that don't go well or whatever. But I don't think we need to have that level of detail in it. Yeah, just we're gonna form a committee that'll work toward, you know, working with the community.
So are these three bullets enough for project initiation?
I think on the third bullet point, mm-hmm. we should have a period after planning staff. But don't do it yet. Shouldn't we have a period here in a separate sentence that says this board will be appointed by
this committee,
by county commission,
or change which shall to just be two?
Yeah.
And planning staff to be appointed by
yes,
the board.
That'll work. I like that. Okay. So that's the first steps. We need anything else in those initial steps?
Leave it broad.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Leave it broad.
Yes. Yeah. Well, do we need any other items in that first step to get the process going that you can think of? I think that pretty well covered it.
I think. This is three steps. We come to you.
Yeah.
You recommend a committee, and then the committee approves it.
And that sounds like it can be done in an afternoon. That's going to take a while to achieve those three steps. You know. So. Okay.
Project foundation. What are the goals / vision of the plan from the community?
Do we need to survey first before that? Or somebody has to come?
Oh.
Well.
Are we going to make a survey requirement? I think it's a great tool. I think it's wonderful. If I was involved in one myself, I would want a survey. Because, it's great technical information.
I don't think there's any other way to know what the community wants.
Right.
And the community is much bigger than the community.
Yeah. I think that's one of the best ways to engage you're not going to engage the entire community, but get more engagement of the community. It's easier to get them to do a survey than come out to a meeting.
Darrell, you're talking about surveying the entire surface area of the boundaries of that community?
Not a physical survey.
A physical identification without engineering survey.
Right. So what's the physical boundary? Does it reach down to this road, up to this road?
Okay.
And when they're using the word survey, that was like the Survey Monkey, what do you like
about
your community?
Oh, yeah.
There are times where the committee will have a goal before a survey is initiated. But and that goal may be to determine whether the community wants to take part in a small area planning process. Or that goal may be to make sure that Dollar General has good landscaping. But if that is the goal of the whole planning process, it's not going to go far. And so identifying what the goals and the vision of the plan from the community, that's the first question that you need to ask. And that can be answered from the survey. That can be answered from discussions and public meetings. That can be answered from personal conversations throughout the community.
I would take out goals. I would say, and I would just ask y'all, because you've done it, so why are you here? Why are you doing this?
Because we care about Cedar Mountain.
Yeah, we've got it in our, we already have it documented. In fact, I shared quite a bit of that goals and our vision. in our presentation. Mm-hmm. What we, you're right though, to get a true insight to what's important to the community, you have to do a survey. You just can't do public meetings. We're getting a lot more value. The thing, though, I just want to comment in is on these borders, geographic borders. We hit on this a time or two back with the community centers naturally kind of being the heart of these already. We don't cross boundaries. It's kind of like Dunn's Rock, and you know that they've got their own turf, we got our turf, and it's pretty well established. So some of this is pretty straightforward. What we haven't done is we haven't vetted with the other community centers any of our thoughts about these boundaries yet. And we might have to look at, when we establish these, we don't do these independent, but we work with the other surrounding areas to make sure we get an agreement on what the boundaries are, because, you know, I need to go down this process and then all of a sudden Dunn's Rock, which has already talked to us, say, well, you didn't ask us, and if we think our boundary, it goes a mile this way. So we probably, there's some stuff in there that is going to happen that's not at this level, but going to establish those boundaries.
How defined are our townships?
It's historical, it's census based.
Okay.
Like Boyd Township does not have a community center. There is no active community center in the Boyd Township.
It's Walmart.
Is this a valid bullet point? Does it need to go further down in the process, or does it need to be the first step of the project foundation?
I think they need to go over a vision before.
Well, I would recommend mission and vision, because that's why you exist and where you're trying to go. You don't know what your goals are until you get your survey. The goals are then things that you do in order to help accomplish your mission and achieve your vision.
Did you all develop a mission statement first, or a survey first?
We had a generic mission statement.
Okay.
But you're right. As you get information, it gets refined.
Exactly.
And then you get more content, and you get down to the goals and objectives of the.
I think what you might want to do on that one is not ask a question at the top, but you want to draft the vision or the mission. Draft it, and then you want to, as a draft, and then you define it in the next section down with development.
I think that's a good idea.
To start drawing for the draft of, you know, they Cedar Mountain knew they wanted to get together in regard to the physical look of keeping their culture. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't say whether it meant something about parking or lighting. They just knew the big part, and then they'll get defined as a good thing.
For the community? Draft the mission and vision as a plan for the community.
For the community.
Yeah.
Aren't mission and vision the same thing?
No.
No.
Vision is kind of your long range, you know, what you want to be when you grow up, where you're trying to go. Mission is what you're doing today, why you exist, and what you're doing to help achieve that vision.
So the mission complements the vision.
Yes. And those are both dynamic. I mean, those are living things. As stuff happens, obviously those can be revised as you go forward as well.
So down here, instead of develop an issue, would it be define mission and goals through public input survey of the community?
I think you need to have the survey before you make that final definition.
Yeah. So does the survey move up?
No, no, it stays where it's at.
Because you can have people outside of your area trying to influence by doing the survey as well. So you have to know what the boundaries are to know if the survey feedback is valid for you.
When do you have that?
And see, luckily,
I think maybe you add a bullet point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Add a bullet point after the survey to define.
That's how we came up with valid survey responses. It's geographic. Everyone had to specify it.
But you know, one thing that helped Cedar Mountain in this process was the fact that a lot of the Cedar Mountain community bordered on the state line or the county line and so forth. And it was pretty well historically defined. You know, remember where the old saw blade used to stand out there by the seashore? So that started the Cedar Mountain community. And everybody understood that years ago.
Still
I wonder what ever happened to that saw
blade.
This was a folks old man. You know what happened to the saw blade? He's wondering.
I don't know where one is.
You need to return that.
Okay, so the final mission is the goal.
Define the mission and vision of the planning board community, identify physical boundary of the area, and obtain community and planning board agreement. Develop and issue input survey of community to learn opportunities, challenges, concerns, and priorities. Define mission, vision, and goals of the community. Prepare a report of survey results and vet through community meetings.
That should go before defining mission.
Yeah,
if you're going to vet it, then you want to get all that before you finalize the intent.
Okay, I agree with that.
Now, they also vetted. Well, they brought their report to the planning board, too. That after they had gone through the, what do you call, community.
Yeah, before y'all had all this.
The lesson here is be careful what you ask.
When it says vet through community meetings, are you putting a number on how many public meetings?
No, you need to leave it.
I would leave it.
Yeah. No, you'll know it when you're at the right number.
Okay. Yeah. I think. Should that last bullet point just be share results? Which will include survey as well as their final mission, vision, and goals for the community.
What was
that? Instead of sharing survey results, just share results, because here you'll have your survey, and then that'll help you to make final definitions for these items, and then you'll share all that.
You don't need to synthesize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good there. That's straightforward. Yeah, that's good. In a timeline.
One thing to note at this point, some or a couple of people are already going to be from the planning board on that committee.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you're going to have feedback constantly to know what's going on. Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Can we think of anything else that needs to go there? Yes, sir.
Think about this a minute. As we do these things, you're getting into deliverables, like the survey results. When we become a committee and it's acknowledged by the commissioners, the collaboration of information of that committee, normally it's, right now it's just our committee, but as we have representatives involved, will it go just to those representatives or will it need to go to everybody on the planning board? How do you want information to be collaborated as they become a joint?
I would assume it will stay primarily with the community plan committee, and then the planning board member or members will share that with the rest of the planning board.
Okay, good. So we're not responsible for sending it to the commissioners, only based on
What do y'all think about that?
I think that the committee serves you all.
Yes.
And then through that, it goes to the county commission. Mm-hmm. But you're the filter. You're the legitimacy, but you're also the filter.
Absolutely.
We don't know when to send it to any other party. You will.
Our whole involvement is to hold the community's hand through the legal bureaucratic process.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So when their members present to them, we would be your support.
Yes. But our obligation is only to communicate to our representatives. We don't have to do anything other than that. Just be responsive to.
I would suggest that the sharing results of the planning board and board of commissioners, mm-hmm. it's important to have someone from the committee to be presenting it. Mm-hmm. Because that also lends, you're an appointed entity, that lends validity that it's not the planning board trying to do this to you. You're also engaged, and you're engaged enough to represent yourself in front of the board of commissioners and share the results.
Does that make sense? I always strongly agree with that. Any presentations, either to us or to the board of commissioners, need to come from the community itself.
And so, just so I'm clear, I don't. You talk about coming through us, or I don't see this as a hierarchical thing. I mean, it's your thing.
Yeah.
We're here to help you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like
but
you.
You're
have to
the
go
legal
through.
Entity. We
yeah,
are
but,
quasi.
Yeah, but you don't come under us on the org chart.
What he's saying is we don't send a copy of this to the commission or anything while we're working.
I'm just trying to understand how you want to collaborate information and what's the requirement.
Yeah.
No, I think information, you correct me if I'm wrong, but.
You filter it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I see having one of their community members along with the planning board representative, that's the checks and balance to make sure that the proper information is being forwarded.
Yes. Are we happy with those items there? Anything need to be added or changed in that process? Okay. And I'm sure as we work through, especially this first one, with Cedar Mountain.
Absolutely.
We'll be revisiting this.
Scroll that down just a minute.
Follow it.
There's one above it. I want to see the one above it. Then question.
Go on to see Project Foundation.
Okay.
Question is, in that second, in that stage there, are we really sharing the results with the commissioners at that time?
I don't think so. It'd be enough to share with y'all.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to them at that point. Really?
After more information.
we're thinking about that. We're thinking about it. I
think we need to allow them to hear it if they would like it.
But that's always the case, because they're the ultimate authority.
But they don't necessarily know that something is ready for them to hear unless we say, hey, we have these survey results. We would like to present them to you. Would you like to hear them?
We could just, it could be a formal presentation or just a sharing of the data.
Okay.
As it's broken down the way that they have shared with us from Cedar Mountain. Just so they know the process is moving along.
Right. So, and or Board of Commissioners?
Administration's going to have to go to the Board of Commissioners.
Oh, yeah. I feel like every little section, I think the end of that section should be pulling them in if they want to be involved. So we have this, project initiation, and we have the project foundation. At the end of that, we kind of get them on board, and then project development, at the end of that. So just so they're, if they want to be, like you said, it may be that they are just hand me the piece of paper.
So it could just be update Board of Commissioners. Planning Board provides County Commissioners with an update at the end of each morning.
And once
they receive the update, then they can choose to tell the county manager, to tell Joy to put it on an agenda item for a presentation, or they can just say thanks.
That's a good point to keep them engaged.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be important.
Yes, absolutely.
I think so too. For them to buy into the whole process.
Yes.
Now the initial
or just to tell if the process is, and of course we'll be involved in that too, to see if the community is going off the rails.
Part of that information process would be a written summation and all that before a formal presentation at a commissioner meeting. Right?
Yeah.
That's what the report of survey results.
Yeah. Project development.
So, question. Dan, the last bullet, we took out survey results and just said share results.
Yeah.
Are we preparing a report of survey results, or are we preparing a report of the mission, the boundary, and the survey?
I think it's the results of the vetting and the brainstorming session and all that stuff.
So is it serve in this fourth bullet down, report of survey results or prepare report of results and vet through community meetings?
At that point it is a survey result. It is survey results at that point, yes.
But it may also be the map of the area.
Oh, I see.
It may also be the mission and the values.
Do you remember when we did your presentation? We gave you all of that.
Yeah.
It was a snapshot of what we're accumulating up to that point.
It wasn't just the survey results.
No, it was not.
It was
geographic, it was our approach, it was our results.
But I really feel like you all were at this bullet point when you came to us.
Yes.
More so than here.
Yes.
Right. You had already taken those results, further defined your mission and vision and goals for the community, right? So you were more at this bullet point than this bullet point when you came to us, right?
Yeah, we were at a point where we're trying to vet it with you, get you up to speed where we're at, so we can figure out how we start taking tools and putting the plan together.
Yeah.
But your survey results and your boundary and your mission and vision and goals need to be vetted through community meetings.
I'm fine with that wording there.
Okay.
Because you do need to,
All right. So project development?
What do you think about in the third bullet? Review pros, cons, and alternatives of available planning tools. There's going to be more than just the pros and cons. If you have a pro and a con, there's bound to be an alternative somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right, when you look into your planning tools, there are things that really don't fit, but there may be something up there.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe it's a local historic district and not a small area. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a something else. Yeah.
And then on the last one, where it says determine if a small area plan, by the time they've gotten to that point right there, it's pretty much already an aerial or an area plan. So shouldn't that A be more like the article B? Because it's already to that point by the time they get there.
But the... So looking at the pros and cons and alternatives available to maintain the community character may determine that the community doesn't want a small area plan. So the bullet point above that, the community meetings, people may say, hey, no, I don't want land use regulations, but I would support a historic district because these homes are really important to my sense of my community. Or I would really support a community garden that is developed by the community center to allow for more community interaction and agriculture of the youth. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there may be other alternatives that the community wants instead of land use regulations. And you don't know that until you put the land use regulations in front of them and see their reaction. Maybe they don't want setbacks. Maybe they don't want lighting controls. Maybe they don't want determine what signs look like.
Okay.
Because that could impact what their signs look like. Yeah. Determining if a small area plan is appropriate could go at the top. It could go at the bottom. It may be a question in every phase. Is a small area plan appropriate? And that's what we tried to do back in May at the community center, is a small area plan what you want to do? We don't know. And then the survey, looking at what people's priorities are, if all they hear about is speed limit, then a small area plan is not where they need to go.
But it's the community that initiates.
Right. True. But...
But then if the community doesn't care, they won't initiate. This won't be...
Yeah.
But the committee, it may be 15 to 20 people of 1,000 community members. And it's only after the community meetings and where people look at, oh, if we want parking lots behind the businesses... Then the hillside may have to be hacked away to allow room for a parking lot to be behind the business to ensure that in front of the business there is beautiful trees and shrubs and the rural atmosphere of the road is maintained. You know, so there's pros and cons of all planning tools that the community will consider at the project development. And they may say, oh, we don't like those cons. It's too expensive. It will keep businesses out. It will inhibit what I can do with my home. Or they may say, hey, I want to look at this alternative. Instead of doing this, can we do this? And is a small area plan required to do that?
When you put this together in draft, once we got to phase 3, project development, I thought about execution of what we have to do. And so what I've been working on for a week or two was a methodology to execute. And in that, I identified about 5 or 6 things that have to be done. And I'd like to mention it too, because it might help organize your thoughts. First off, number one, is that we build upon the survey that was done, because that survey represents the community that we're trying to establish this Smart Area Plan for, and it has the priorities. So, number one was leverage the community survey to guide the decision-making process. So, what we do in this project development is going to be always aligned back to that survey,
right,
those priorities. Number two, I wanted to assess the planning tools and alternatives from the perspective of the committee broken up into different focus areas. Let me explain what I was going to do. We've got subject matter expertise in our committee, and I was going to break it up into a couple of people on the committee looking at residents, full-time, part-time, and when they look at each tool, they're going to look at it from the residents' perspective, and they're going to look at the pros and cons. But if that's all we did, it would be very, we're going to have these problems you're talking about. So I broke it up into residents, business, profit, nonprofit, public and community services. These are the fire, EMT, churches, the CMC, who started the whole thing, etc. History, infrastructure, forestry, agriculture. And we've got committee members that are responsible to look at the tool and to define the pros and cons, vital perspectives, and build a subset of your tools. If there's 100 tools, we come up with, maybe from the residents' perspective, a dozen. We come up with five or six under public and community service. We come up with a dozen from business. We merge those all together to come up with what tools apply to our small area plan based on, again, the survey driving those decisions and these prospective subject matter experts. So
but then all of those may go out the window when community meetings start.
That's right. But I got to tell you, we're going to be doing our homework before we get there. So you either go prepared and organized, or you just go in it and get shot at. I think we're going to be very organized in the methodology, and we're going to identify the short list, and then we're going to look at potential conflicts across those perspectives, because the tools that we found out from the residents versus the business might conflict. That and the agriculture and business might conflict. So we're going to be boiling this all down into pros and cons, so we have a very systematic approach to getting to what is going to work for us. And then finally, we're going to build strategies on those tools that we identify. And that leads us to the next step, where we start pulling content together with a small area plan.
So does there need to be another bullet point of the committee reviewing pros and cons prior to sending it out to the community meetings? Or is that just part of the process that will happen organically? Are there any other bullet points that need to go into the project development or steps? Because that's what a bullet point is.
The other thing I mentioned to me,
on the last bullet, who's going to determine if a small area plan is appropriate? That really needs to be for the whole community, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But that final decision is going to have to be made by the community.
Community committee, planning board, and the board of commissioners.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to go up.
It's got to go up. All of them. Yeah. All, yeah. So the community if the community determines that a small area plan is not where they want to go, the board of commissioners doesn't have to say, yeah, that's fine. But it probably doesn't, which is why it's not here. But if they would be determining as well when they look at the priorities in the next stage, if they look at the priorities and say, we have no control based on North Carolina general statute, we can't regulate this. It can't be in the small area plan. They'll kick off different planning tools that they're uncomfortable with or unable to utilize. But at this stage, you're right, it probably doesn't, but it may. It may be beneficial to take it to them.
I mean, since the next step is drafting the plan, I think it would be good to know that at least let them, county commissioners, know, like, okay, we have moved through this process. We are going to be moving forward with the small area plan, if that's the appropriate, you know, if that's what they determine is the next step.
So, update board of commissioners?
Provide update.
Yeah, I think it's just update him again.
I think it's provide update to planning board and board of commissioners.
Yeah, just to make sure we're all...
So just like before, share results with planning board and update board of commissioners.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Because what we don't want is, in 4 months later, just go to the board of commissioners. Hey, we did this whole plan.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah.
Well,
before we move on to the next, the draft plan, the next section, we want to continue reviewing this or pick it up next month. We're at 9 o'clock. Roads are going to be wet. It's not quite freezing yet. I just checked that.
I guess it depends on the
most likely not.
Well, if that would be the case, I'd just say
let's finish this. Everybody okay with that? Okay. I think we'll. I was gonna recommend that we push noise ordinance off. Start that next month.
Thank you.
So we'll go ahead and finish this. It's okay.
Can we ask the planning board that if you're solved with that first step, that you might just go in and get the ball rolling on initiating the awareness of this Cedar Mountain wildfire for us, getting the committee together? And do we need to ask for representation, or do we need to? I mean, I hate to wait for another period of time. If there's something that we can do or you need from us at this time to get the ball rolling.
Well, we're going to finish this tonight.
You're going to do the plan first.
Yeah.
And then we'll execute the plan.
Yeah.
So we will. Okay, that's what I mean.
Yeah. All right. So we've moved on from project development to draft plan.
These potential solutions and all that comes from this pro and con and alternatives, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is I think you need to have, do we not need to have a step in there where we make a decision on what tools you're going to use, how you're going to approach it before you start the public input session?
Maybe it's refine priorities and potential solutions.
We're having to use. believe me, born and raised here. I totally understand what we're doing here. We're trying to use steps and language to make this not look like a zoning process. That's what it is. It's not. It's not unique to Transylvania County. This kind of planning is not popular in rural areas in general. But I think we need to have, before we start public input sessions, I think we need to decide, need to have a step in there of the committee deciding how you're going to address, what tools you're going to use, where you're going to have corridor zoning, if you have it, or where you're going to have open use or residential, whatever the case may be.
So is that like the second bullet point? Is that what you're... Maybe the second bullet point moves that?
Yeah.
Is that this, the brainstorm potential solutions and applicable planning tools? Isn't that the committee doing the brainstorming?
It is.
And determining that?
I think before we have... Don't we need to have... Before you have public input sessions, we need to do more brainstorming?
Well, look at the third floor. I don't know. That's a community meeting right there.
Yeah. That's public input.
But you're not making any firm decisions yet.
No.
No firm decisions have been made. And I think before you reach this point, the first point there, the committee needs to have made some firm decisions on this is where we're going to implement this planning. This is where we're going to implement this type of planning.
Ah.
This is where we're going to have 20-foot buffers. Well, you know, whatever the case may be. Start making some of those hard decisions of what the planning is going to look like.
I actually had in the project development, when we built a short list of tools, we had a strategy for every tool put in place by those perspectives. And then that way we had aligned our strategies for each tool. And it was vetted at the committee level across those perspectives. So we kind of did that first, you know, to see if we can break it.
Yeah.
And if the strategy was sound, then it goes to the plan to have content built to support the strategy. That's how I had it.
Okay.
Laid out.
Yeah.
Committee refine and select planning tools. Confirm priorities and potential solutions through public input sessions.
Yeah. That's fancy wording, but you're achieving what I'm talking about here. Yeah.
But now this isn't going to lead to zoning. I would hope.
No. I think it will.
Well, it depends on the community.
But it's a community. It's community.
It's community driven. It's not like a county saying you're going to do this. It's a community choosing for itself.
Or
the zoning
needs to
be
zoning
requirements.
Yep. Yeah.
Or it might just be stormwater requirements for businesses to address the stormwater runoff.
I think in some communities, though, it's going to lead to zoning.
I wonder how that's going to fly.
Well, I think it will fly better, honestly. This is strictly my personal opinion, but I think it will fly better when the community is saying this is what we want.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to
the commissioner saying this is what you need.
Yeah, because if this was county commissioner approved zoning and all that, I'd be out of it right now.
Yeah.
I'm 100% not in favor of zoning.
No. But if you get a substantial amount of a community participating and they're saying this is what we want, that's a whole different process.
Oh, yeah, different ball game there. Yeah, okay.
That I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with people sitting downtown and telling folks and talks away this is what your plan should look like.
Okay.
But I'm okay with people talks away saying this is what we think we should look like.
See, what I was grasping at is how much what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, in other words, how unless that happens, I can't. In other words, how rigid is this? Is a community plan going to be legalistically and all of that? In other words,
how much teeth is
Sometimes my words don't come.
I hate to keep going back to the well on this, but it's going to be up to the community. If the community decides they want very defined areas that are residential, areas that are commercial, areas that are this side or the other, they'll define it, and then it'll be on planning staff to enforce it.
And commissioners to implement.
And the commissioners to implement.
There is a push nationwide to get away from land use zoning maps and saying residential has to be here, because if you look at historic development of a community, it's always mixed.
Yeah.
And there is no boundaries here and there. And there's more of a push to look at the form of the development. How far back is the development from the edge of the road? How tall are the structures? Are they 5 stories? Or is there a limit to 3 stories? Are there, you know, so zoning, I don't think in Transylvania County will go to this can only be developed as residential. Nothing else is allowed. I don't think that's going to happen.
You're not having the Cedar Mountain UDO developed here.
No.
In other words, community-driven land use.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
exactly
basically what it trickles down to. I mean, it's community-driven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of the way it ought to be.
Absolutely.
They say, well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we want. You help us figure out the best way to do it. The commissioner said, okay, if that's what you want, then it's so.
That's why we started.
That's how it's supposed to go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And if they want zoning, let them have zoning. Yeah. You know, whether I like it or don't like it, is irrelevant. It's what they want.
But it will be the whole community determining
exactly
if it goes forward. It won't be those 15 people on the committee determining if there's going to be zoning, because there's going to be public input vetting throughout the whole process. And there's going to be touch-ins with the Board of Commissioners. And if 5 people show up to the Board of Commissioners saying, we love this process, and 25 say, oh, we hate this, we don't want this to move forward, then it's going to die. You know, so there's going to be processes for the community to be engaged.
But, Jordan, you see that, I don't see that realistically happening. If this process works the way it's supposed to, you're not going to have that disparity at the commissioner's meeting. That's going to be resolved at the community level before we ever get to that point, I would hope.
I wouldn't plan on that not happening. Probably will.
Well, theoretically, it shouldn't.
And some, I think it'll go back to how organized the effort is in the community, and things of that nature. But you're always going to have those handful that are don't want anything.
You have a handful of people who are up in these back roads and codes who aren't going to fill out the survey.
Or come to a meeting.
To a meeting, and then when they find out about
then
it, in the fast state, then they're going to be there.
Then the hornets come out.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people live in those areas because it's not zoned, and they can do whatever they want with their property.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we were going through a mining permit modification about a year ago, and we have to notify all our neighbors. And I talked to one of my neighbors, and he said, you being able to do what you want to on your property is a small price for me to pay to get to do whatever the H I want to do on my property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he wanted to live somewhere that was zoned, he would have bought a place that was zoned.
Yeah.
And regardless of what all his neighbors want to do around him, it's still his property.
I don't see our plan going to zone stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is, because if you look at the small, as the Pisgah Forest small community zoning ordinance, residential is allowed anywhere, and commercial entities have to have buffers around them and stormwater controls so that their impervious surface doesn't impact their neighbors and their visual appearance doesn't impact their neighbors. But it doesn't say that these commercials are not allowed on this parcel, but are allowed on this parcel. It doesn't get into parcel use or land use to that degree, but it says how different uses can be done adjacent to each other.
And fitting in their surroundings.
And fitting into their surroundings. So if Cedar Mountain goes the way of Pisgah Forest, then it will be... there will be no districts that prohibit residential. Residential will be allowed anywhere. And commercial uses will, if they expand the impervious surface, they'll address their stormwater. and have buffers if they.
It's essentially open use zone.
Yeah. But it is zoning.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't regulate
districts.
Zoning districts. We don't really want to call it zoning. I mean, it, more community land planning.
Yeah,
it's
community land planning. Yeah.
That's the code
yeah.
word.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
If it's zoning and all that, you'll have to give people oxygen.
I don't think anybody's here to control stormwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stormwater is in the one of our other ordinances. Stormwater runoff is addressed in that.
The Pisco Forest Small Area Plan addresses stormwater. The Watershed Protection Ordinance addresses stormwater. Cedar Mountain is not in the watershed protection area. It is not in the Pisco Forest Community Zoning Area. They have had a lot of flooding recently. So I don't know if the community wants to address stormwater to reduce flooding or if they don't.
We will talk about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it may come up, it may not. It really depends on what the community determines.
I didn't mean to open up a big can of worms, but I'm glad we talked about that because that defines things. Okay.
We know it's
happening. Yeah.
So the draft plan, community refine and select. Shouldn't that be refines and selects?
That's what I, yeah.
But isn't pretty much every bullet community driven? And then you have to give them the
community, not community.
I mean, community, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This place looks fine to me.
Yeah, it looks good.
Makes it look really easy. It's like a Chilton's manual on how to remove an engine. Step one, open the hood. Under the draft plan area there. Y'all okay with those points? Do you need to add, think of any we need to add? Take away, I think that looks like a pretty good step by step. As I said, this is, I'm sure, you know, after we go through the process with Cedar Mountain, we'll come back and revisit this if we need to. Okay. All right, so move on to your finalized plan.
Started running out of space, so planning board is.
I see that. Okay, I was going to ask about that.
So, on bullet number 3, where it says Board of Commissioners approves, disapproves, or requests revisions to be resubmitted, is there just a flat denial option for the board? And if so, is there then a some process that the committee would have to go through to appeal that complete refusal, or is it really they approve or they request revisions to submit again? How does that stand?
I would hope, especially with this process of us keeping them engaged throughout it, that it, the only way I foresee a complete denial is I don't think the process will make it this far if you get a complete denial.
Right.
I think the only thing that'll lead to that is you see a community plan getting hijacked or when it goes off the rails.
And it would happen before
this. It happened before this point.
So my question would be then, would you change that to approves or request revisions?
I think you have to leave this approves in there. Go ahead.
Is the point above that, is that the first public hearing right there?
It is the probably the first and only. Yeah. Public hearings are official.
They're required.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That public person can get hijacked right there.
Yeah. Yes.
Public right. Input
and
meetings.
We have our job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't be surprised if you have people out of the blue that you had no idea of opposing you all along show up there.
And this and these public hearings are everybody.
Yeah.
So I mean,
it's
the
entire county.
Yeah. So you don't know who may decide they want to be involved with your community.
Hopefully, I know. Hopefully, if someone in Boyd precinct says, "I don't like the idea that we can do these small area plans," we'll have no. It'll have no holding or outcome impact on what you all are doing. If they are a member of the community, I think they'll have a little more ground to stand on.
One thing I saw when I was building the methodology back up at the step three.
Yes.
When we selected the tools and we built the strategies and we move into the draft plan, that green area is where we're actually putting meat on those strategies.
Yeah.
And in there, I figured out that I just put a little hold myself. This is when we were going to rely on you to help us scale back. We might come up with 50 things, but it might not be feasible to only move a dozen through on our very first small area plan, because this plan, if you get it too big, it's like eating an elephant, you know, and you can't just take the whole thing at once. We're going to need, that's what I think is going to be valuable to our community, is help us figure out how we can get this through. If it's too big, we scale back. So help us when we get into that, and that's I think very important that where we're at the draft plan, moving into the last phase. I only want to get there in case we think we're all going, this should be very doable.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to have to be priorities.
Yeah. And maybe it's only 30% of what we chewed off we're going to actually do. But that brings up another question. Once you do a small area plan, how do you come back and revise the plan? So that's the next.
Yeah.
But that's another one.
Well, there's another consideration. You may find that maybe your top priorities are long lead time, long range thing, right? And so maybe you look at your list and say, you know, what we in the quality business say, pick the low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, this is priority 13 and 15, but very easy to do.
Take priority specific.
That's where we're going to need your help.
Process.
Yeah.
20 years old.
If it's been done, it's a slam dunk, then put it in there.
Yeah.
Not in
meet that
gray areas.
Because I think we have to hold public hearings as planning board. We have to hold a series of public hearings as a planning board before it goes to the commissioners, who then have to hold a series of. It's a very defined, specific layout of how you have to go about it if it contains all.
Which raises a question for me. If we have to have, let's say, the Cedar Mountain small area plan, we have a public hearing. Mm-hmm. Somebody from Wisconsin can show up and say they don't like it, right? Because they're public, even though they're not impacted or live there or have there any type of a stakeholder whatsoever can show up and argue one way or the other.
But if they have a very good point, planning board will listen and consider their point. And if their point has no bearing to the Cedar Mountain community and planning board has been involved in the process throughout, then they'll know, hey, that doesn't sound like what we've been hearing at the public meetings or what we've been hearing from our friends who live up there or from our neighbors who, you know. So I think, yes. Your point is well taken, and there are specifics for zoning, and they have to be in line, or statements have to be made that they align with the comprehensive plan, or don't align, and the reason why they don't align but are being proposed. And so there's processes and statements that have to be made through the process. And I'll verify to make sure that the draft is.
I don't know that we have to be that detailed. Yeah. It's just our public hearing may not be a simple single public hearing.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
True.
I
was thinking before the ordinance or the plan is adopted, the county commissioners will have to hold a public hearing.
Yeah.
The planning board may also have to have.
I think there's a problem. I'm pretty sure.
Public hearings, yeah.
If zoning is involved, there is a very detailed layout process that contains several public hearings before you vote on it.
Yeah, land use area planning.
But I don't think we need to get into that detail. It can suffice to say public hearing, but just know if it contains it's a series of public hearings.
And we would probably that public hearing would probably be held at the community center, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know what process other counties use to do this? I know, like Jackson County has several small area plans.
They do, and so does Henderson County.
And I don't know what kind of process they've used.
But if you look at the Jackson County plans, every one of them is completely different. And they have different planning boards to consider, or different boards to consider.
Because every community has their own community planning council and architectural review committee.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen here in this community.
Currently,
I don't think we want that.
I don't think so. I mean, the more small area plans and the more different planning regulations are on the books, the more staff will be needed to review them. And the more, I mean, there is a...
The one thing I've heard consistently from staff and commissioners is they like this process. They want uniformity in Cedar Mountain and Boyd, Little River, Coxway. Wherever it's at, if it's a buffer, it's the same buffer in every place. It's not 10 foot at one and 150 and 168 at the other. You've got standard uniform. That thing to try to get away from that kind of nonsense.
Exactly.
And of course, the enforcement fall back on the planning board to enforce these as they're approved. So you don't have each community having its own planning staff and architectural review boards and things of that nature. Yeah.
But every plan will be different, it'll be based on their community.
Yeah,
but the process will be more uniform.
Yes. Well, if you want buffers, then the
buffers are buffers.
Buffers defined at 20 foot. Whatever. You know, we'll probably need to fall back on some of the ordinances we already have to make them in line with that. How do y'all feel about these points here in the final?
And once it's adopted by the commissioners, how's it going to move forward?
After it's adopted by commissioners, it becomes.
You want to mimic the real word?
But
who drives it? After all the approvals are done,
enforcement will fall back on planning and community development.
So I should get more coffee. That's not coffee.
Does that make sense?
Is that following the building codes and all the
things? In other words, it's adopted, and then somebody.
Those are uniform. Okay, those can change. Go ahead.
So I mean, but now the community does. The community doesn't necessarily move forward. If somebody in the community wants to do something, then that has to fall under the review of the planning board or their administrator.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or however the commissioners decide to say it is. I mean, they could.
Yeah.
Say that like Jackson County has, where each small area has its own planning council, basically.
Gosh. That can be a lot of councils.
So what was the result of that? Is that the enforcement aspect of, say, an ordinance is put in place,
Enforcement will fall back on planning and community development.
Yeah. The Pisgah Forest Community Planning Pisgah Forest Community Zoning Ordinance is enforced by the Planning and Community Development Department. So we review site plans for commercial development that comes in, and we answer a lot of questions about what is allowed, what is not allowed. And before building and permitting issues a permit for new construction, that we have already issued a permit to the developers if it's within the small area zoning ordinance.
Good. So, for example, in Cedar Mountain, someone sells a business property or asset, and they decide they're going to level it and they're going to put in a strip mall. It'll have to fall back to a permit that will have to be reviewed, authorized against what we've gotten approved through the committee or the commissioners. And then
so that property will not have deed restrictions on it based on decisions made by the what is done in the community planning. And then it'll fall back on county staff to enforce that.
Because we have no jurisdiction as a committee. We're not incorporated.
Except that's what they do in Jackson County. They have if this was Jackson County, they would have a Cedar Mountain Planning Council, and whoever decides they won't put in a strip mall submits their plans to the Planning Council. And and then once that gets turned down, it gets appealed to the planning board, and once that gets turned down, it gets to the commission.
Thus, the reason our founders despise pure democracy. Okay, so this last step here, we okay with those? We want to add, change, revise.
Okay with this.
All right. If that is, if we're okay with that, that last step, those items, we can entertain a motion to approve the small area planning process.
So moved. Second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? I think we probably beat that, but obviously this is a plan that will be a work in progress.
I think it's great to see community members get involved like this. It takes time.
I'm just thankful you're listening to us.
We
want to help you. We want to get it done. I know one thing. We're going to have some scars from this one. You know, we're going to figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. All those in favor of the small area? Okay. Indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, like sign? All right. Motion carries. Unanimous. We're going to move the noise ordinance review to January.
We'll see you all in January.
All right.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Move back on. For a second. We move to approve the small area process.
Yes.
Are we submitting it to the county commissioners or?
They have to ultimately approve it.
So we have a motion to approve the small area planning process. Do we need to make a motion to submit it or recommend it to the county commission?
We can have another vote, but I was under the assumption that
the motion to approve and recommend.
Yeah, it contained both, right? Yeah.
Thank you all
very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, comprehensive bike plan.
There is an initial draft. It will be discussed at a stakeholder meeting tomorrow, and revisions to it will be included before taking it to the public for their input. The reason I am highlighting it is because currently the planning board is involved in the implementation. You are called out in the plan. Now, part of that is because in other communities that develop bicycle plans, the jurisdictions change policies and require development to have bicycle infrastructure or set aside land to be purchased for bicycle infrastructure. That's not going to be in the final plan. So I don't know if you all will be involved in implementation or whether it will be the Parks and Rec Master Plan, but you are currently in here as a key partner for implementation. And as such, you will be receiving a presentation either by myself or by the consultant on the plan, and will be getting a draft of the plan to review, if you so choose. Because if you are going to be identified in the plan, you need to be aware of what the plan says.
Yes.
And so just be aware that you will hear more about the bicycle plan. You will hear about public input meetings. You will hear, and you will get a draft of it and to review at your leisure and provide edits and suggestions. And so there is a draft plan. It is not ready to be passed out yet because the stakeholder input has not been included yet. So, but the public input session or public input comment period is going to be lengthy. So you will have your opportunity to provide edits and comments.
We'll make those as a board though, right? Individually and as a board.
Well, you're Transylvania County residents. You are able to provide your comments and your feedback. That is very welcome. Whether or not you stay in as a key partner on implementation will determine whether the board makes any official comments.
Who put this plan together?
So, Transylvania County received a grant to pay for a consultant to put the plan together. And NCDOT selected the consultant and is administering the grant funds. To keep the cost of the plan lower, Transylvania County is doing the public participation. So we hosted meetings in Little River and Cedar Mountain and Rosman and Brevard to get initial public input. What did the public want to see? That was one of the metrics that was used to prioritize projects. So there's priority projects that now will be taken back out to the community and to vet and say, so we heard that you want improvements to these roads. We heard that these roads are fine. We heard that you need either paved shoulders or bike lanes on these roads. Is this accurate? Or does this need to be revised? The first group to see it is the stakeholder group, and then it will be going to the county commissioners and you all and the Parks and Rec Commission and other entities, such as the Transportation Advisory Committee. They'll be hearing it in January. So, yeah.
See, they're talking here about, you know, this has, it goes along with the French Broad River Greenway developed through time, and they're talking about a linear park along the French Broad River, which is going to affect an awful lot of landowners. See, when they started putting in these French Broad River campgrounds,
and so forth like that, like the one on Darrell Hooper's place down there.
Mm-hmm.
I was still with NRCS at that time. We were talking about standards and specifications, but they're going to, you know, they're talking about having this thing, floodplain, basically it's just going to be a strip of land that they're either going to have to buy or condemn if this goes forward.
NCDOT does not condemn property through eminent domain for multi-use paths or trails. It is not a tool that the county would use. And so multi-use paths and trails are developed through voluntary sale of land for easements or through road development projects where the road has to meet federal regulations for being a U.S. highway. And so if the road is improved, they have to meet these federal regulations, and thus there are 4-foot paved shoulders on the edge of U.S. 64. So there's different regulations that the roads come into play, but multi-use paths and trails along rivers, greenways, are all voluntary. So.
Okay.
So a property owner can say, I don't want to donate or sell an easement, and they won't have to. And the trail may stop right there. Or it may jump the road and go across the road where a property owner is willing to sell an easement for the trail. It depends on the property owners, and it depends on where it is.
Darrell, is a lot of this, in a nutshell, Transylvania County's way of generating revenue for the industry that we don't have?
Strictly my opinion, it's trying to create new industry that fits our, I guess, what we have to offer right now, and that's...
It is anymore, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The days of the big industry are gone. Mm-hmm. Gotta have something for young people to do, you know. I'm sorry, I didn't mean. Go ahead, Joanna. Sidetrack just there a minute.
Well, you continue the conversation on the comprehensive bicycle plan. Any other questions, or you're ready to adjourn?
Can you send us the copy left, even though we know it's going to be revised for tomorrow?
Yeah. Because it is a thick document, and so it's going to take time to really digest it. And you're welcome to have a copy of it as planning board. But it will be revised in December before it goes out for public input. But if you have edits or suggestions, email them to me, and I'll send them to Steve Krakowski, who's developing it with all the planning. So.
Who's driving this effort? I know you've already answered that.
Alta Planning.
No, but for whom?
For Transylvania County.
So this is a plan the county?
The county applied for a grant.
Okay.
Through NCDOT.
Yes.
To develop a bicycle plan.
Yeah.
To increase safety for motorists and cyclists, and increase. It supports the Parks and Rec Master Plan, which identified the need for linear parks, i.e. greenways. It supports the ride map that the TDA developed. A lot of the roads identified here as priorities for having paved shoulders are those that are in the Tourism Development Authority bike routes. So,
one of the things I found interesting, because this is learning to me from Joy, was that if we have a written plan that says we're interested in bike lanes, then when the DOT does upgrade a road, they have to add a bike lane. But if we don't have a plan that says we want bike lanes, then the DOT doesn't have to do it.
They don't even have to do 4-foot paved shoulders. But they, unless it's a U.S. highway or a North Carolina highway.
So significant, is it fair to say a significant reason of this plan is to have improved roadways for that would include bicyclists or pedestrians?
That's what I tried to explain to my friends and family in Little River when they had that meeting, was you're never going to get it eradicated. State law allows people to ride bikes on the road. You've got to have a plan to get them out of your way. Because if you don't show up and support that plan, I guess I was trying to encourage them to fight a battle they could win as opposed to a battle they were certainly going to lose, but I made any headway.
We'll be back there in January, so please join.
That new Wilson Road revision out there is going to have this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's already been
the point. That's the point. You know, people want to say, I don't want bikers on the road. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Right.
They're going to be there. What you can do is have a plan that will hopefully move them to the side of the road and make it, passable and shareable for everybody involved. But it can be. I mean, I've come to learn and accept that biking is an industry that appeals to the county. It's a way to provide jobs, things of that nature. So it's good for the community, but it can be, I don't know how many of you live down that way, but we have a lot of people riding bikes in Little River, and there's times it can be a little nerve-wracking.
That's not good. You're such a diplomat.
All right, go ahead, John.
So we will discuss this in January.
It will, and whether or not planning board is in there. If you guys want to hear more about it and discuss it, I'm happy to have it as an agenda item. If you guys are not a partner, do you want it on the agenda? So do you want to discuss this regardless of whether the planning board is named as an implementation partner?
And part of this public input will determine whether we're, or is that our decision? I know you said that already, but at this point I can't.
I don't personally think it makes sense to have you all as the implementation partner. I think it makes more sense for the Parks and Rec Commission to be the implementation partner because they are working towards implementing the Parks and Rec Master Plan, which identifies greenways and linear parks as a priority. And because of the recommendations to put, I don't think it impacts property owners in a way that requires planning board's consideration of it. If you guys want to consider it and recommend it or recommend revising it because of how it could impact property owners, you're welcome to. And that is your ability as planning board.
I think we should review it because regardless it plays a role in the comprehensive plan.
It does.
And I don't think we'll get removed from a role in it because the people doing it probably realize that the Parks and Rec, their committee, don't have the ability, but be a jurisdiction or the teeth, the ability to work as the planning board does to make things happen.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
They don't have the jurisdiction that the planning board does.
So if you...
So they're probably going to leave us in.
if you all consider it, then will you be wanting to make a recommendation to the county commissioners regarding it?
I'm sure we will.
Okay.
That's my assumption. Yeah, I think so. With that said, this is an effort. You all helped get that grant, right?
We
planning and community development.
We did.
Okay. All right. Anybody has any more questions on that?
The public input sessions are scheduled for January, and we should let the planning board know. I mean, there'll be in the newspaper, but we can let you know when and where each of those are.
Yes, so that you can attend.
Yeah, that would be good.
And hear what the people are saying and see how the public input sessions go.
But now the spokesman for the official planning board position on this would be you.
And that would come after the public input meetings. Because of...
I think we can have an official statement from... You were trying to say you're going to send me to these meetings and set me up.
Well,
no.
Eventually, somebody's going to say, what's our planning board's position on this? And you're the chairman, so you're our spokesman, right?
Oh, yeah, and I'll share whatever we decide to be our position, regardless of my personal opinion.
Well, the bikes are here. They're not going away. We're going to have to deal with it.
I don't like 95-year-olds driving 4-foot-1 of bagels either. Yeah. I can't do anything about it.
But you know, with 4-foot pair of shoulders, they're not going to be as likely to run into your truck as you drive by.
I wouldn't bet on that either, obviously.
Fair enough.
I don't like spending money on 4-foot pair of shoulders when I can't even leave equipment around the cost structures and everything.
Yeah.
The most common sized excavator there is, you load it on a Traco and haul it from Cashier from Lake Coxaway to Glenville. It costs you more money to do that than it does to move it from Vista Forest to Winston-Salem.
Yeah.
Because you have to buy $150 permit, you have to have 2 certified escorts, you have to have a highway patrol escort that was lined up 5 days ahead, so if you have a machine breakdown, you're totally screwed. And if you're moving to Winston-Salem, you've got a blanket permit that's good all year long, everywhere in the state except for the roads up this way. So,
mountain.
So you just load it up and drive off, just like you're going to see grandpa. If you want to go, if you want to go to one day, play cops away to live with, it's like leaving home for the evening.
Wow.
It just irks me. I mean, I know bicycles are here and we have to tolerate them, but it just irks me to no end that. We pay hundreds of thousands of dollars every year in road use taxes. We're talking about bikeways. We have pig trails for roads.
Bike lanes are 5-foot dedicated bike lanes. Paved shoulders are 4-foot. And they can be paved or they can be grassed. And it depends on the road requirements and what the comprehensive transportation plan says. What is submitted to the state for funding. So the comprehensive transportation plan really sets the stage for how the roads are improved in Transylvania County. And so the comprehensive transportation plan will be beginning, the county commissioners will consider a committee work group to begin that. They'll be considering that in January. And so Transylvania County will begin the development of a comprehensive transportation plan, which may include some bicycles, but will addresses ferries, well, not ferries, boats, cars, pedestrians, public transit, and all of those forms of transportation. So, I don't have much else from a planning and community development perspective. the Joint Historic Preservation Commission had to cancel their meeting with two staff in the department. We are working on the projects that we've been working on that you have heard about, and looking forward to understanding what the future is.
And I will give an update, and that is, I've given my notice to the county. So this will be my last planning board meeting, and I've really enjoyed serving on this board and being sort of being staff to the board, and enjoyed getting to know you all and learn so much about the county.
Thank you for all your hard work.
Yes, yes, thank you.
It's been my pleasure.
So where are you going?
The Bard Music Center.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So I will be soloing.
We're all going to pitch in. We're going to
dedicate
20 hours a week.
So what's going on with all the organization here? They are going to do anything?
That has not been announced.
It has not been discussed.
I was told that the county manager is trying to get a feel for the new board. The new board of commissioners and their position on planning and how they want to move forward with it, or what emphasis they want placed on it, and then they'll move forward with addressing filling the spots as necessary. All right, so that's everything. Okay. I assume there's no public comment. Board member comments.
I just have one, and I'm sorry, I don't want to end on a negative note, and I'm so frustrated. I came back from having no power for 4 days and saw the paper and about the new cell tower they approved.
I read that today myself. Yeah.
And they apparently did not take our suggestion.
I put in a couple of calls today after I read that to see if I haven't gotten a call back yet. It was late in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask if they were, if they had addressed the way that we recommended it to be addressed.
My understanding is, well, you have information on that.
Okay.
My understanding is they did not. They put it back on the petitioner.
Yeah.
And they couldn't work it out. And that was not the point of the discussion. I'm really, really frustrated by that because they missed an opportunity there. And in fact, one of them even said, I'd like to know why their cost is charging double the rate. Well, yeah, talk to them like we asked you to do.
Exactly.
And appeal to their sense of corporate social responsibility.
Yeah.
No, that's too hard.
That one comment right there is what made me think they weren't, the commissioners anyway, didn't get our entire.
Yeah.
They weren't
part
of it anyway.
I'm not pleased with that result.
And see, two of the commissioners said they felt like they were being boxed in.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't follow that.
No.
I mean, the
not if you follow the option that we sent.
The option specifically sent to them, because I made the motion, was that this be approved only if all other options associated with WHNS fell through.
Mm-hmm.
And see, apparently nobody really followed up with WHNS on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding.
It moved too quick, I believe, to
provide that. I'll still go talk to them if you'd like me to. I think we just missed an opportunity there. And
it could have prevented another tower from going up.
When did we hear that? October? Was
yes.
When we had that.
It was initially on the agenda for September.
Yeah.
It will be on the agenda for January because it will require a mountain ridge protection ordinance permit. Not variance.
Permit.
No variance. Tall structures are allowed on protected mountain ridges with a permit.
Okay.
The planning board considers those permits similar to telecommunication tower permits.
Now, did he come back with all the engineering data that you need?
He did provide the engineering data for the structure of the tower, yes. And the NEPA document is supposed to be available on the 15th of December.
I wonder why
it never went to WHNS again.
I can't say for sure that it didn't, but it seems to me like that time frame of us sending it to them and them considering it, there wasn't a lot of effort made, if any.
That's what I get.
Yeah, because I assume that work with WHNS would have been drawn out. It probably shouldn't have been, you know, a simple phone call necessarily.
Because somebody talked about the county attorney being the one to probably have talked with WHNS. Seemed like somebody mentioned that at one of our meetings.
Could you ask Sawyer just to pressure them and say, you know, we need to get going on this? And
no pressure, that's possible. The Board of Commissioners.
Yeah,
that is possible, but
I hope we didn't direct the commissioners to thinking they were boxed in.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to clarify. And the reason I made a few phone calls.
Did it say which commissioner said that?
I know Mike Hawkins was one.
Mike Hawkins said he was back into a corner, given no choice. Well, that's.
Wow. And Mike was talking about from the standpoint of, you know, being kind of held over the barrel, this is a safety issue, which we can understand that too.
The price being would cost too much. I reject the framing of the question because there is an option. The Fox Tower is an option. It is an option.
Yeah.
And let's see, who are we quoting here? Larry Chapman said he'd like to know why Fox is charging double the rate. I do not get that.
Yep.
I do not get that
meeting. There's some other reasons, and it was kind of my understanding. It's totally my understanding that the talks between the applicant and WHNS had broke down. It was more than
nothing changed.
That was brought up in our meeting.
And that's what
was
that's
having it. And is there? I'm still not. Is there some reason that we can't approach Fox as a planning board? Hey, look, no kidding. You're getting nothing now. Why can't you come down to something close to the reasonable?
I think it's more of an approach the county should make as opposed to the planning board. But and there's nothing to stop the county from making that.
I would be afraid to get involved.
Is concern about North Carolina general statute allowing or not allowing counties to consider business decisions of a cell company. Counties and jurisdictions can require information on the cost of co-locating and the fair market value, but when the co-location of a cell tower is above fair market value, that is based on North Carolina general statutes, that is a valid reason why it is not an option for the company to do. And so North Carolina general statute is very supportive of cell towers. And that's based on federal legislation that is also very supportive of cell towers. And so there's some things that the county is not able to do from a North Carolina general statute standpoint.
The county can negotiate, like I said. And the reason I don't think it would be wise for us to get in the middle is because the county does have some communication equipment on that WHNS tower. So I'd hate for us to piss off WHNS and they're like, get your communication equipment off, and then we're in, you know, all our first responders are in an issue. So that's the reason I think county should handle it.
Yeah, that'd be bad PR for them, and I think this would be bad PR for them, too.
Yeah,
they're just...
It was just an opportunity.
I didn't read the newspaper article, but that was something else that the county manager brought up, was if you deny this request, and then... Yep. Somewhere down the road, you need to move your communications equipment.
She said the article mentioned that specifically, that they're going to have, when the county decides to move their equipment on the tower they have there, they're going to have to grant themselves a variance. So I think they were
if they kind of this one in there.
Yeah, setting precedent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they bet themselves in a corner with that to an extent. If the WH&S title was an option for the county and for U.S. Sailor, it wouldn't be an issue. They got 1,800 feet.
Yeah,
you can't worry about crowding.
But they're making nothing on it now. Why not take 3,000 instead of 8,000? I mean, you're making, you know.
Yeah, well, they don't need it.
I really think it probably is. If you look at it from their point of view, perhaps it's a liability issue because what would possibly make it worthwhile for them to allow someone to damage their tower?
Yeah, other people calling on the tower.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got a fence, they've got insurance, they've got a footprint. If I was them, I wouldn't leave like one. I mean, because if you're
kind of over.
Well, it costs them $1 million for a day of long TV, you know, so.
Any other board member
Sorry,
comments?
Sorry, I didn't mean to
write that. Any other board member comments? Kaylin, we appreciate your service to the county, to the planning board, and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you're certainly going to be missed. And,
thank you.
And we appreciate all your hard work over the years.
Sorry.
Thank you all.
And,
appreciate it.
I won't drag it out since we're past 10 o'clock, but Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy New Year.
Oh,
and
happy birthday.
Same to you.
Thank you. Happy birthday to you.
Oh,
that was okay.
We are birthday brother and sister.
Today?
Huh?
No.
Saturday.
Yes.
Well, you know, we had a cake in the office today,
really?
And we ate it.
You celebrated for us.
I would have tried to not eat it until tonight, but I don't.
All right. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Assuming that's going to be unanimous.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all. Sorry for the late meeting.
Straight out of
the bar,
Brian.
We're going to be doing it. What are they going to have you doing?